Bring greetings to all of you again in Jesus' name. It's good to be back with you this morning again. Trust you are ready to look into God's Word. I appreciate your prayers that you have been sending to God on my behalf. Thank you so much for that. For the subject this morning, the title is taken from 2 Corinthians 10, and we're going to read verses 4 to 11 in just a bit, but I'm going to give you the title, and then we're going to have Brother Ryland lead us in number 106 in the hymnary, Christian hymnary. The title is Taking Into Captivity Every Thought. Taking Into Captivity Every Thought. We just want to explore our thought life and how that affects life. Brother Ryland, could you lead us in that song, please? That song introduces for us the subject of the morning. I want to say before we read this scripture that there is a friend of mine who has a relative who got a child I forget the age of the child, but the child was in a very deplorable home situation. The child was a few years old, and they got the child as a foster child. And this child was very limited because the child was kept in isolation. If I remember right, there was not much interaction with the parents at all. The child could hardly talk, and very sad situation. What I want to say is that you're a product of your parents' investment and time with you, influencing your life from a very little baby to who you are now. You are a product of your home, by and large. But what I want to tell you is that your parents' failures, whatever that may have been in your experience, or does not predispose you to failure in your life. Okay? You're not genetically born with the sin nature, but the Bible does not teach us that because your parents maybe have committed sin in the past, that you're going to commit that same sin today. Okay. I believe there are patterns of thought that are processed and passed down through the generations. Patterns of living and thought and habits. Okay. But I do not believe the scripture teaches that you're predisposed to fail the same as your parents may have failed. Neither does the scripture teach that you're going to be as successful as your parents were in raising godly young person. Okay. Life is a choice. I say all that to say that you are here this morning because someone has invested in your life to a greater or lesser degree. Because if they wouldn't have, and you would have been put in a room all by yourself, you would have died. Thoughts are very, very important to life, to living life, and how you live life for the future. And it's so critical and so important. I'm going to give a little diagram here on the board, and it's very elementary, but to me it helps if I break it down a little bit to think about these thoughts or these. So we could draw a circle. I guess I like circles, I'm not sure. But this is life. Okay? So we have life. And we have life. The five senses are, quickly. Let's call them out.
Sight.
Hearing.
Smelling.
Your turn.
Taste.
Did we get them all?
Touch.
Five senses, okay? So we have life, we have our five senses. We come down here to, I don't know if I should call this the heart, and I'm sorry, some of you maybe cannot see this, but we have life, we have our five senses, we have the heart or the mind, okay? Underneath the heart and mind, I'm going to draw another block, and this is captive thought. That is captive thought, all right? underneath captive thought, we got two other blocks, and one is rejected, and the other is received. See, I before E, except after C. And the other is received. And we could go on from there. But let's read our text, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations or arguments. Okay, we could say arguments there. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The subject title is taking into captive every thought. Thoughts lead to behavior. Behavior leads to habits. And habits become your life, who you are, I quote. Thoughts lead to behaviors. Behaviors lead to habits. And habits become your life. And I'm not going to go into all the neurological processes that happen in our mind when we do things and how our mind is bathed. But you can see with me that in there somewhere is where addictions happen. In there somewhere between thoughts lead to behaviors and that leads to habits. What does it take to make something a habit? 6 weeks of repetition or something like that, it will start to become a habit to you. If you want to break a habit, by God's grace, just say no and ask God for help. And as you do that on a consistent basis, that habit will become less and less of a control in your life. They tell us that we think perhaps 50 to 70,000 thoughts a day. I don't know how they come up with that. But we think a lot of thoughts. Now, just to illustrate the importance or how thoughts affect us, on our way down here, our second flight, we were waiting and I'm a little nervous about flying. I haven't flown for many years, and I'm just a little nervous about flying. Our first flight was rather rough, and it was pretty rough. It was bumpy, and the plane was shaking around, and even when we were coming down to land, and I'd keep reminding myself, trusting God. I can't do anything about it. Trusting God. And then the second flight, we were waiting to take off, and they told us that the plane had a small mechanical problem, and they were working on that. It wasn't a big issue, but in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, right, what is it? And then I saw the pilot walking out to the plane, and the pilot was very, very young. He looked very young. And my thoughts are saying, this is not good. My thoughts are telling me that, okay? I'm thinking, young pilot, plane, you know, can he be trusted? Well, why am I thinking those things? So after we got on the plane, my curiosity got the best of me, and I asked the stewardess when he was coming back the aisle. And I said, I have a question. How old is the pilot? And he said, he's the youngest of our crew. He said, he's 32 years old. But you know, as we were flying, I wanted to say, as we were boarding, I saw some other airline men get on. They look like pilots, American Airlines. At least one or two of them gray-haired gentleman. One had the bands, you know, on his coat, and looked like an airline pilot. And it's just something about that older pilot that I thought was an older pilot sitting behind me sort of consoled me just a little bit. You know, if this young pilot has a problem, they could probably come up and help him. But that is the thoughts in my mind, you see? That is what I'm thinking. And it's affecting me as I'm on the plane of, it's affecting my behavior, I guess. I mean, I didn't do anything out of the ordinary that I know of, but the thoughts, okay? Thoughts in our mind. Thoughts are an idea or opinion produced by thinking or occurring suddenly, and it's occurring suddenly in the mind. It's a notion, it's a view, it's reasoning. And as we respond to life circumstances, as we respond to life, okay, we form opinions. And there are good thoughts and there are bad thoughts. There are negative thought patterns and there are positive thought patterns. I am not talking about this morning the power of positive thinking from a humanistic standpoint. That is not what I'm trying to convey to you. There is the thought that if you just think positive, you will have what you want. You just think about it. And God is left out of the picture. That is not our subject. And I do not believe in that doctrine or whatever it's called. I do not believe it's sound and scriptural. Thoughts direct us and form the person who we are and who we will become. They are the seeds by which our actions grow. The thoughts are our seeds by which our actions grow. If you do not think right, you will not go right unless something happens in your life to intervene. But if you're thinking wrong thoughts, you will eventually do wrong things. Proverbs 23:6-7. I think it's 7a maybe. The Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that there is life that comes to us, the life around us. It comes to us through our five senses. That's how we take life in. And we mentioned them: touch, sight, smell, and so forth. That's how we take life in. It comes into our heart and mind. Keep in mind that our heart and mind is also seeking something from life. Okay, we're looking to get something from life. There are four needs of man, and they are acceptance, identity, security, and purpose. Acceptance, identity, security, and purpose. We are created with those desires by nature of how God created us. So we seek to find fulfillment in those things. So that's why I have the arrow driven or drawn this way. Because we're also looking to get something out of life. We are. Life comes to us, and then we have our heart and mind of who we are, our mind. And this happens all the time. It's happening right now. It happens all the time. We're thinking. We are thinking people. Sometimes you ask somebody, "What were you thinking?" "Well, I don't know what I was thinking. I guess I wasn't thinking." But what I want to focus on is the taking captive our thoughts. That's what I want to focus on. Because God has given all of us the ability. I think it's right in saying that, unless you're physically handicapped. But when thoughts come into our mind, there is a moment, and there must be. There must be, maybe we do not even realize it, but a moment of capture. There must be a snapshot. You know, there's this thing of Snapchat on technology. I don't like Snapchat, and I don't approve of Snapchat, really. I mean, why don't I? Well, that's another subject. But we should be able to use Snapchat and avoid all the temptations that might go with it. We'll leave that thought. But take captive the thought. I believe, turn with me to Psalm 91 and verse 1. And what I said about Snapchat, I believe it can be used in a good, upright way. I guess just maybe my... Well, why do I think that? Probably some reasons. Psalm 91 and verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. I would like to suggest that the secret place of the Almighty, dwelling in the secret place of the Almighty, happens right in here in the captive thought. Right in here is where we're dwelling in the secret place of the Almighty. Why is that? We'll bring that up a little bit later. Try to talk about that a little bit later. What does the Bible say about our thoughts? Number one, our thoughts are known by God. The song we sang, before they are my own, are to my God distinctly known. Psalm 139 and verse 2, we are here in Psalms. Psalm 139 and verse 2. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Our thoughts are known by God. He knows them. Our thoughts cannot be hid from God. Jesus knew the thoughts of those who were around him. Imagine how it would have been to live in Jesus' day. When the Bible tells us, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, knew what they're going to do. My wife and I talk about it sometimes, how we know each other so well. We don't know each other's thoughts exactly, but we know each other's predisposed way of thinking about something. Well, I thought that's probably how you're thinking about it. But not like Jesus. Jesus knows our thoughts. He knows them. Number two, man has the ability to choose what he will allow himself to think on. Man has the ability to choose what he will allow himself to think on. 2 Corinthians 10, 4-6. Which we read, talks about casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity. That tells me that man has the ability to choose. We do not, when we're driving down the road, young man, and we see a billboard, boom, it's there. We were driving the road and we happened to see it. We can't help that, but we can help what happens here and here. That's what we can do. That's what we can help. When a thought comes into our mind, we make a choice. Are we going to file it in the treasure drawer? Are we going to receive it? Or are we going to reject it? Are we going to empty it? I've saw a picture of a sorting machine, and perhaps you've seen them, different machines that sort product, and it's coming down the belt, and there's product going this way, that way, this way, that way. It's sorting it. And we do that in our mind all day. We sort information coming into through our eyes and our five senses, and we sort it and we file it. Your news app on your phone. When you read the news, you need to process what you read. You process what you read. Someone was murdered here, or someone married there, and you process that. The mind that is governed by the Holy Spirit will take captive of its thoughts and test them against God's word. It will test them against the word of God. And you say, well, preacher, I do not take everything that comes into me and test it by God's word, everything that comes. I understand, maybe we do not think about it every time. But is it safe to say and fair to say that we should be in tune with the Spirit of God so much that when something comes to us and bloop, the alarm goes off, we know what it is. And we exercise power in the Spirit and we reject it if it's to be rejected. That we have our senses exercised therewith. That we're discerning the spirits that come to us. Thoughts are so important to life and the outlooks of life. When faced with temptation, in whatever form it may be, there is a war that goes on between good and evil. And if your devotion to God and commitment to truth is directing you, you will be given the power to overcome if you allow that power to work in your life. The Bible also says, number three, the Bible also says that the thought of foolishness is sin. Proverbs 24 and verses 8 and 9. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. The thought of foolishness, the planning of foolishness. Think about it. Boys, girls, this term. You planning any foolishness? Foolishness. Proverbs talks about foolish things. Okay, so there's a whole list that we could talk about under that, what's foolish and what isn't foolish. But the Bible also says, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. What are some negative thought processes we may face? What are some negative thought processes that we face as life comes to us and as we're looking to get something out of life? Even living under the direction of the Spirit of God, by the nature of who we are as God made us. What are some negative thought processes we might face? Number one, a negative thought process we can face is to be directed by fear. To be directed by fear. Flying down here, I had to deal with the thought of fear. The thought of fear. I wasn't really going to say that. My daughter, I don't know if she knew Dad was just a little nervous or not, but she knows now. But the thought of fear, because To drive would be, it's on the ground. Well, you know what? Be a man, fly. Fly. Dictated by fear. Feelings of discouragement are produced when we're dictated by fear. Elijah faced a crisis in his situation. Elijah, when he, after Jezebel said, look, you're going to die. And Elijah said, whoa. And he fled to the mountain. He, in my own words, he went and went out into the mountain. The Bible says he requested for himself that he might die and said, his life is no use. He spoke the thoughts of his heart. Do you ever feel those thoughts? Do you ever feel discouraged? Life is no use. Negative thought, fear. Or perhaps your identity is at a wrong place, or your security, or but thoughts of worthlessness. I want to touch briefly on this point on false fear. The devil wants to all right. This is another subject, but just touching briefly on it. Negative thought process. So I can have fear that this podium is dirty. Okay? So I could have fear it's dirty. So if I touch it, my hand is dirty. I need to go wash my hand. The compulsion says, go wash your hand. So I wash my hand. My hand is now clean, but if I touch something else, that might be dirty. And it's a false fear. Okay, you follow what I'm saying? It's a false fear, and it drives you to a compulsion and becomes an out-of-control freight train. Maybe you do not know what I'm talking about, but if you experience any of those things, you do know what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that is a false fear. And we're controlled by a false fear. It will control us. And God does not want us to be controlled by false fears. If you're facing a situation like that, seek counsel and help to someone to help you with those situations. Number two, another thought process, negative thought process is that I am a victim of what has happened to me. Therefore, I am not responsible. I'm a victim. Life came to me, and this is what happened, and there's nothing I can do about it. I mean, I can feel this way. It's not my problem. 1 Kings 21 is a story of Ahab, and you remember what happened when Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. And he went to Naboth and asked for the vineyard, and Naboth said no. He cannot sell the vineyard. And Ahab went home. He didn't get what he wanted. And he thought the best thing in life, I guess, at that point, was to go home and lay on his bed and turn his face to the wall and not eat any food. Because I can't get what I wanted. And yeah, I don't know what he thought. Maybe he was using it as a control tactic and manipulation, I'm not sure, to get what he wanted. Maybe that's what he was planning to do. But I believe maybe he felt like he was a victim, and it's what I'm going to do. Another negative thought process is, I will do it tomorrow. Laziness says, I don't feel like doing it now. I will do it later. And that is a negative thought process. Proverbs 24, maybe you are there, maybe not, but I want to read just a couple verses to you. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. I say that I will do it tomorrow is a negative thought process. Because a lot of times tomorrow doesn't come, and I struggle with that myself. I will do it tomorrow. I really want to lose weight, okay? I'll be open with you, honest with you. But when I sit up to a table of good food, I will do it tomorrow, seems like a good option. So I continue to stay where I am and not make progress. You can pray for me in that. But that's a negative thought process. It's a negative thought process. Another one, I can be a Christian without true commitment. I can be a Christian without true commitment. Revelations 3 and verses 14 to 22, we won't read that. But it was said of the church there that I would that thou wert either cold or hot, and because you aren't, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Maybe I will just turn there and just look at that. Revelation 3, verses 14. It's the church of Laodicea. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And they were saying they had what they needed. But yet, it was told them that they were just lukewarm. They were not really on fire for God. Lastly, positive thought processes. We're talking about taking into captivity every thought. We're talking about what happens in our heart and mind, and how that affects life, and how it's so important to have the mind of Christ and live life through the mind of Christ, through the following the word, through devotion, and through prayer and seeking God. Number one, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Positive thought process based on God's word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We know what that means. I cannot crash this building by my hand. Well, if God gives me the strength, I could push this building over. No, that's not what the scripture is saying. Number two, Father, forgive them. The example of Jesus in Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, is a positive thought process. You may be a victim of what has happened to you, but there is a difference between the thought processes of a person that says, Father, forgive them, than the person that says, well, what do they say? They become bitter and hard and deceived. Number three, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Philippians 4:12. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I ask you, young person, this morning, are you content? Are you content Sometimes we're content and we shouldn't be content because God would have us to move to higher ground. But as you're reading the scripture and as we are living together in brotherhood, scriptural brotherhood, if in fact we are doing something that we should not be content with, a scriptural brotherhood will help us to see where we can grow. Number four, trust in the heart of the Father, Philippians 4:6. Trust in the heart of the Father, positive thought process. Number five, seeking to find the good in life. Seeking to find the good in life. You know, we can look at life through a glass that is dark and everything looks bad. The glass can be half full or it can be half empty, depending how we view it and how we look at life. I want to conclude. The person who brings his thought under the obedience of Jesus Christ can claim the promise of the keeping power of God in his life. The battles of life are bigger than you and I, but God's grace is bigger still. And I want you to turn with me for a closing scripture to Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 is a precious verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Dear ones tonight, or this morning, trust in God. Come to the cross of Jesus with the things that are bothering you and causing a disturbance of your peace. And he has promised that he will keep us in perfect peace. We will dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. And we will experience that peace and direction. But right here in our hearts and mind, where the thoughts are coming in and we're taking them captive, is where the battle is. And thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And although there is dark, and you're not sure which way to go, it's dark. By all means, stay where you are until you get some direction. If you're on the truth, stay in the truth. And God will lead you further, but the storm may need to clear. I don't think I'm going to give a formal invitation this morning, but I'll just open it up just for a few minutes to any one of you who maybe wants to share a testimony or something that you need prayer for, or a testimony of a God moment in your life, or just something.